Tax returns could look a little different this year. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and rock out with only the best deals. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A5 One for just $199. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less.
Hey, 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 you guys. What is up? Welcome back to Gals and Legal Podcast. I'm Danielle.
I'm Brooke. Happy Wednesday, everyone.
Happy Wednesday, you guys. You guys are in for a treat for this week's episode. We are talking all things women's health.
And I know you might be like, this is so like, gals on the go, women's health. Like, no, but let me tell you, all of those questions that you want to ask your OBGYN, but you might be like too embarrassed to, or maybe you don't, you haven't even started that conversation with like a physician or anything yet. We are talking about it today with the one and only Dr. P. She's absolutely amazing. Carrie Ann Perkins is a physician of Alliance OBGYN Consultants. It's in New Jersey. You guys, she has a whole comprehensive background in gynecology in addition to her medical practice. And so she does all of her medical stuff. She has an MS, an MBA on top of being a physician, and she's a captain in the United States Army. I don't know how this woman sleeps.
Yeah, she doesn't. No, she like actually doesn't. Because then she also has her own social media platform where she shares everything that she's learned along the way and just so many tips. And it's just insane. Like, actually, how does she sleep?
Seriously. So we talk about things like birth control, infections, kind of how common
discharge
those are.
Like, yes. we really get to the nitty-gritty, the stuff that you really don't want to ever talk about. Like, we put our lives on the table here,
I consider myself like fairly close with my OBGYN, but yet I'm still like has apprehensive to like ask her certain things.
I get awkward AF. So I didn't feel awkward with Dr. P though. She just made us feel so comfortable. She was so funny. She made such great examples of like comparing something else to something so you could kind of understand it more, which was much appreciated.
Yes. And real practical tips. So stay tuned.
Cleaning.
All the yeah. I know.
Yes, that's a big one.
So many mixed messages, I feel like, about everything from like what underwear you should wear to like cleaning to how bad an STI or STD really is. Like, it's
definitely,
it's confusing.
Yes, and it was really comforting to talk to her, and I think you guys are going to love this episode. We get kind of giggly at some points, yeah, too, because how can you not? So we've been wanting to do this episode for a while, and Dr. P was the perfect guest to have on for it. And make sure to check out all of her socials we'll have down below and get ready for that interview. But before that, we have some other things to attend to. First, we will get on into our business of the week.
Business of the week.
So guys, today's business of the week is Covry. I love Covry eyewear. They were founded in 2015 in an effort to break away from the industry's practice of one size fits all. They started their journey with a crowdfunding campaign that raised 3 times their initial funding goal, and now they're focusing on building an eyewear company where all their products begin with you. I actually have 2 pairs now. I'm quickly like making a collection here. Ooh. I have a pair of the Hamal Gold Blue Light glasses. They're like kind of like the circle cool hipster ones.
Okay.
And they're so clear and comfortable and they're light. And then I also have the Atlas Pine Aviators in shiny gold and solid green. They're kind of a spinoff of like your traditional aviator. I love them. I've been wearing them a lot for spring because I tend to wear out my big black sunglasses all the time. Mm-hmm. But now for spring, I'm wearing these aviators and they're great. They're a great company to support. And yeah, they're Asian American owned. So shout out to them.
And we'll have it linked, of course, always in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. I'll have to check them out. I'm always in the market for good sunglasses.
Sunglasses are just it, man. Like, they just change the whole outfit, honestly. And they protect you from the sun.
Yeah. I don't know why in the winter, like, I never have been, like, a sunglass person. So I'm excited to break them out again as we move forward.
Definitely. Definitely. As the sun comes out through the clouds.
Yeah. I found myself walking the other day and I didn't bring a pair. And I was, like, you know, doing the squinty thing. And it's just not good for your skin, it's not good for your eyes, it's just not good, yeah, overall, because I think about all the wrinkles, because like when you make that squinty face, it's like straight up like wrinkle.
I'm a big sunglass wearer, I've noticed. Like, any time of the year, even if it's a cloudy day, I wear sunglasses.
You've always been, though. I always have been.
And someone said maybe it's because you're from Florida? And I don't know if that would correlate, But if I'm driving and it has an ounce of sun outside, I have to wear sunglasses. I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. But then Delaney, like, we'll be in the sunniest of moments and she just doesn't even bring a pair of sunglasses in it. Baffles my mind. I feel like everyone, like, what, where would you lie on that bar, bro?
I would say I'm somewhere in the middle. Like, it, if it's okay. Like, if I could, like, look outside, like, if I was going outside today, I might, like, go up to my roof or something later. I'll definitely bring a pair of sunglasses because I could visibly see that it's sunny. But, you know, sometimes when it's, like, in New York, it's been doing this thing where it's, like, really gloomy in the morning. Then by noon, it's, like, sunny and beautiful. But
yeah.
If I didn't bring it, I don't carry sunglasses. Yeah.
if you know, from last week's episode.
I don't carry them, like, my purses aren't, like, huge enough that I just always have them on hand, you know?
That's so interesting.
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, especially if they're from Amazon or like more inexpensive places, I'll try to keep them in like my pockets or in places that they're like, always in my car, like readily accessible.
Yeah.
But it's not always my first thought, which for I think it is.
Yes, it is. Except I do have this issue with sunglasses and masks. I feel like I'm like trying to be someone I'm not when I'm doing that, but
it's
really
a disguise.
I just want to block from the sun. Yeah, but like, yeah, I'm not trying to be But my friends will be like, "Oh, no, okay." I'm like, you know, I need to do two things here.
And then,
okay,
like you breathing, like can sometimes like go into it. It's with
I
regular
feel for glasses.
Glasses
wearers. Yeah, it's so sad. It's hard.
Definitely not my favorite thing to do, especially in these times. But if you get like the thin sunglasses too, that don't like exactly like there, so there is like a gap in between the mask and the sunglasses because they're like
it's not as much fog.
The fog is an issue. Yeah.
The fucking glasses. So you just take what you can get. You pick your battles.
Yeah. Maybe I'll get more into them. You're inspiring me. I'll make an order from this company.
Yes. Yay. So fun. Okay, cool. Well, support them, as Brooke said, link down below. Let's get on into our new segment called Question of the Week.
Question of the Week.
All right, Brooke, are you ready for this week's question?
I'm ready. I feel like
she was born ready.
I feel like we could take these questions in a lot of different directions, so I'm ready.
Okay. So today's question is, I want to know, what's a weird habit that you have that other people may not know, mm-hmm. some might know, just mm-hmm. something weird that you do?
So I was thinking on this one because I was like, I feel like there's just weirdness in my normal doing of things that I don't consider habits, but I guess that they over time, like they do become habits.
Right.
Like this is actually a really good one. I'm like a floor sitter. Even when there's a couch option available, like I'll sit on the floor.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's I'm weird. Like that. Yeah. And it's kind of like, yeah, come on, like sit on the chair, whatever. But that's not even like the weird one. Okay. I was thinking back on this one. This is very niche and I want other people to relate on this one. This is particularly about French fries, which is one of my favorite foods. Probably like when I am asked for like top foods, like French fries might be number one on my list, honestly.
Really? I mean, they're great.
I love potatoes in any form, but something about like a good old fashioned like thick French fry really does it for me.
Totally.
Specifically thick. So I used to be more particular. Now I'm like, I'll eat any type of French fry, whatever. But I have this thing where like the texture of them is really like important to me and I need them to not be super crunchy. So before I eat my fries, I have to like feel them. I know.
I've never noticed this about you.
I guess we like how many times have we – it's not something – I probably have fries once every like at this rate of my life, like once every month, 2 months. Like it's not a regular food that I consume. I don't carry French fries.
I know. I do not carry French fries in my fridge.
I love them. Sure. But it's like such a – it's not even that it's that indulgent, but I don't know. They don't taste the same from home as they do out. Like, so I'm like, I would rather get them at a restaurant. So I squeeze them to make sure that they're potatoey enough for my liking.
Oh, my God.
And I've gotten better about it. Like, I'll eat them all. I'll eat the crunchy ones. I'll eat, like, but a nice, like, thick potatoey French fry. Like, do you know what Nathan's French fries are?
Yeah. Those are good.
They're thick. They're crinkle cut, but they're like really potatoey and like dense. Like that's the best type of French fry.
Oh, yes. I would agree.
And some people disagree and they want like really thin, crispy, crunchy, like burnt. Not burnt, but like.
I don't like super crispy. I like a nice, dense fry. Like that's fluffy on the inside.
Me too. Me too. Like a little crunchy on the outside. Oh, my gosh. I like that way about bread too. Like a nice.
Oh, yes.
When it, like you hear the crack of it.
Oh, yes. What's that place in oh my gosh, what's the place in New York City? Pret-a-manger?
Yeah.
Pret-a-manger.
Well, there's two. There's Pret and there's Aubon I always say it wrong.
Avant-pain?
Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Pret. Okay, for Pret. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. They have good bread. Sorry, I just thought of it.
Yeah, that was a very niche, weird habit. I was just thinking about it.
That is a very like weird habit.
Weirdest thing that I do. Because everyone has weird habits, but you don't think they're weird. Like my daily, like, I wake up and do these things. I'm like, this is just my routine. Like, I don't necessarily think anything's weird, but maybe if I, like, explain
it. You really think about it.
It could be.
Movement. You guys, I'm so excited about one of our partners for this week's episode is Movement, because in a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all of the rules. With fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs, Movement grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Now, Movement has expanded into blue light glasses that protect your eyes from your screens, minimalist jewelry, and more style essentials that don't break the bank, all designed out of their California headquarters. You guys, I have to say, Ryan, I got him a watch from Movement. He absolutely loves it. It is so chic looking, so cool. I don't know if he'd want me to say chic, but you know what I mean. You know, he looks cool when he wears it. I personally have a pair of blue light glasses. They are my favorite blue light glasses I own. I wear them in all my vlogs. You guys are always asking me where they're from. They're from Movement. I'm literally spending all day in front of my computer, and my Everswirl blue light filtering glasses are game changers. So if you want to elevate your look with a style that doesn't break the bank, then join the Movement and get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to mvmt.com/galsonthego. Again, that's mvmt.com/galsonthego.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people's that they're thinking about right now might have be related to food. Mine also is related to food.
Oh, okay, let's hear it.
Yeah, I have some weird food habits. This is my weirdest one. You know this one. Some people do, but not everyone knows, so I just had to share it. I don't use salad dressing.
Yeah.
On my salad at all. Yeah, if you know me well, you would know this. And people are like, what? Like, literally nothing? Yeah, like, I will go to a restaurant and order a Caesar salad without the dressing, and then they'll be like, do you want a different kind? I say, no. And they're like, so you want a bowl of lettuce with croutons? And
that's
say,
the weirdest, like, the fact that you even still eat salads is the weird part for me. Like, it's okay if you don't like salad dressing, but I would just be like, what? I don't want this at all. Like,
well, that is also why, like when you and I used to travel, you'd be like, I need like a salad right now.
I can't relate.
Like, you know, there's every now and then I'll order like a Caesar salad with chicken without the dressing.
But that's not a meal for you. That like that there's no
taste. It's not filling. Yeah. Well, it's not bad. But it's sometimes like everyone's getting a salad, so I want to be cool and get a salad. But I'm trying to expand. I do like salad with Italian dressing. I'm noticing like an Italian salad, like with like some mozzarella, tomato, arugula, Italian dressing. I am starting to like that. I don't mind a vinaigrette. Like if I go somewhere and it's like a pre-made, like, you know, salad. Yes. It's like an event or something.
Like at a barbecue or something. Usually they have like a salad made. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind a vinaigrette, but I really do not like ranch or Caesar or anything like that. Like, I want the veggies. And the reason that I started this habit was when I was younger, I don't even know how old I was. I was at my grandparents' house, and my grandma was like, do you want a salad, Danielle? And I was like, oh, I've never had one. I don't think I'd like it. It looks
great. How old were you?
Seven, eight, or nine, or ten.
I don't know what the average age for, like, starting to eat salads is, because I was probably later on that, too.
I have no idea.
But I feel like you start with, like, Caesar. Like, you start with, like...
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, now you're going to have like the healthy, like,
It's always Caesar that you start with. I think that's what we had at the dinner table. And she's like, okay, how about I just give you a piece of lettuce and you try that and then we'll go from there.
Oh, okay.
Little did she know we'd never go from there.
I was like,
oh my gosh, this piece of lettuce is so good. And so I was like, I want more. So she gave me a bowl of lettuce and then I just felt that that was normal and that was okay. And still to this day, I don't use dressing.
Okay. So. I will say it's not the worst habit to have because a lot of...
It's healthier.
I was going to say the unhealthy part of salads comes from the dressing typically. So I mean, weird.
I mean, we're
very weird. But
very weird.
But healthful, yes.
Oh, yeah. I've gotten so many names. I'm called a bunny or
a bunny.
Lawnmower a special bunny. Or, I mean,
oh my God.
Grass. I mean, we've heard it all. And it's so funny, too, because I always will order. I'll say, can I get, you know, Caesar salad with dressing on the side? And my mom will always look at me and be like, own it, Danielle. Just say no dressing. Just own it. So now when Ryan and I go to dinner, I told him that she does that. And he'll be like, own it, Danny. Own it. And it's so embarrassing because the waiter's like, what do you want from me? I'm like, literally just don't bring the dressing, okay? Just don't bring any of it. Because she's like, it is wasteful. But waiters don't understand when I tell them that I don't like dressing at all.
And then they'll bring it with it on it sometimes. And, yeah. then you have to send it back anyways. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like a whole situation. But a lot of people do ask for it on the side. Mm-hmm. So I feel like kind of normal when I do that. So I digress. That is
you don't like you don't like anything creamy, really, though, because you don't do like cream cheese. You don't.
Oh no.
Yes. So anything like
mayo.
Yeah. So you have a thing with like
hollandaise.
That's so random.
It all
hollandaise. Like what?
Just because in the I don't know. Someone mentioned hollandaise the other day, and I was like, yeah,
I don't really like that either. But I do. I like cream.
I like aioli, though.
Oh, that's interesting.
But sometimes I don't. If it's too mayonnaise-y, I don't. I don't like mustard. But I would argue that all of those things have this similar, I call it a tang to them. They all have a similar taste. There. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like that.
But I feel like garlic aioli, like.
It's close. It's almost there.
Yeah.
Only if it's with fries. Okay. Like, because, you know, trapeze here in Athens, you get the garlic aioli. Oh my God. I'll eat that, but halfway through, I have to switch to ketchup because I start to taste more and more of it. Okay. If someone says the word mayonnaise, I'm like, oh, I'm out. You're right.
I think it's a mayo base of that. I would have to.
Yeah, it is. It is mayo based. Okay. Yeah, and so when I start thinking about it, and like tasting it, so yeah.
You've always been that way, so that's good. But honestly, I do have to say, everyone used to always say to me, like, your taste buds change. They really do, because stuff that I used to be the pickiest eater, and like, I don't know if it was going to college or whatever, really grew me up, and now. Or it's also probably putting myself in situations where like new people that I'm like, I feel uncomfortable explaining to them that like, I'm not going to eat that. So I force myself to eat it anyways. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm going to dinner with someone that I don't really know well and they're like, oh, like, will you split this with me? And I'm like, sure, for sure. Because I don't want to make a big deal of like being super limiting.
I know. You want to be that chill girl. Like, yeah, split whatever. Like, get whatever.
But it gets me out of my comfort zone too. So that's why I do it. But like, I'm not. Obviously, if it's something like that, I really am like, no. But if it's like, you know, I probably should. Okay, I'll try it.
Definitely.
And you have like one or two bites. If you don't like it, it's fine.
Yeah, I used to not eat cheese. Like, I used to not like cheese.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and we've gotten over that. Since I came to college, like, I used to get the cheese off my Caesar salad, too. So it was literally a bowl of lettuce and croutons. And now
that
it's, like,
is
cheese,
nuts.
Lettuce,
that
croutons.
Is, yeah. Okay,
I know.
Yeah,
I've always liked pizza, though. But, like, but still to this day, I never, like, if I get, like, spaghetti, I never, like, want them to, like, if they're, like, do you want cheese? I'm like, no, thanks. Like,
I don't usually either, actually. But I don't like the taste. I don't necessarily love, like, what is that, Parmesan oregano or whatever.
Yeah, it changes the sauce completely.
Yeah, I'm happy with the dish as prepared by the chef. Like, I'm good.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, we would love to know y'all's weird habit that you have. So we'll post a question box today if you're listening to this on Wednesday, and you can kind of answer your little weird habits.
Food weird habits are interesting to me.
Yeah, I feel like that's what a lot of people's weird habits are, or it usually has to do with, like, organizing or cleaning. I'm just so excited to hear what you guys have to say.
Really, me too. All right, let's get into our current fave.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Of all of my favorite things.
I am reading again because it's been great.
I saw. Yeah,
so
good for you.
Thank you. I have two book racks for you guys. Let me know if you guys like when I plug the book racks in here. Honestly, there's just some weeks where I'm like, I don't even have like a product fave or a show or anything. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I feel like book racks are always good. Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed.
Would I like that? You like really hyped it up, so I was curious.
Yeah, I think you would. It's a really fast read too. Like, I read it almost in like a few days, like a few like intense sittings of it. I guess it's about this woman and her babysitter, and they have someone that they know in common. I don't want to like give it all away, but they're like two women that are at different ages. But it touches on a lot of important issues, I think.
Okay.
The ending definitely left me like, there's so many ways you could take it. I almost like want to join a book club just so I could discuss the ending. It's like one of those. It's not even like, not thriller mystery vibe, but more so like, what do you want to think about this? Like, how, like, it leaves you pondering. So yeah, definitely like that one. But it's still fun and like young and girly. I think you would like it. And then the one that I'm reading right now is more thriller vibe, Woman in the Window by AJ Flynn. I'm like probably like a quarter of the way in. And it's both of these are kind of like, from the beginning, they're exciting. which I like.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
it's so hard to get into a book where it's like the first 100 pages is a build up and like whatever.
Smart These, author.
Exactly. From the beginning, you're like, it sets it up and you're like, oh, there's something to unpack here. And like, it does it throughout. So,
wow, good to know.
I never thought I'd be a thriller type of read. I get very scared, but they're really great books to read, like the ones that are more mystery.
Love that. Love that for you. Well, very exciting.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's fun to, especially as we're going into the summer and stuff like that. I know you went to your pool the other day. I went up on the roof and like, it's so great on a weekend or whatever it is to just sit up there and read. Like, it's one of my favorite pastimes. Truly enjoyable.
Yeah. Reading, I always read so much more in the summer because I don't like to look at my phone really by the pool. You can't really see it, but when you're reading, it's so much easier. So that's another inspiration for sure. So yeah, definitely getting into the summer. Get reading, baby. Let's go.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check some of those out.
Wouldn't it just be so great if there was a pocket-sized guide that helped you sleep and focus, just kind of like be better? Well, guess what, guys? There is. And if you have 10 minutes, Headspace can change your life. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in one easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever your situation is, Headspace can really help you feel better. If you're overwhelmed, Headspace has 3-minute SOS meditation for you. Or if you need some help falling asleep, Headspace has wind down sessions. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations you can do with your kids. So Headspace has this approach to mindfulness that could truly help reduce stress, improve sleep, boost your focus, and overall just increase your sense of well-being. I can't say enough great things about Headspace, you guys. I've just found traditional meditation to be kind of difficult to get into. And I feel like Headspace really keeps me on track. And I just absolutely love the way that they approach mindfulness. Headspace is backed by 25 published studies on its benefits, 600,000 five-star reviews, and over 60 million downloads. Headspace makes it easy for you to build a life-changing meditation practice with mindfulness that works for you on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. And you deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/galsonthego. That's headspace.com/galsonthego for a free one-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/galsonthego today.
My favorite, I know I like talked about this last week and probably the week before, but I just have to say it again, guys. Schitt's Creek is
Danielle, you have to get more of a, I'm sorry, I don't accept it. You have to give another answer. Like you,
I knew you were going to say this, but I just can't. Like I just haven't found a show in so long where I laugh out loud, like belly laugh, like from the acting to the writing. I mean, like, I want to meet the writer of this show. They're incredible. Well, I know the producers are Dan and Eugene Levy. They're like brother and son, or father and son.
I was like, brother and son.
Brother and son. I really, like, other than that, like, I don't really have any other favorites. Like, I don't know. It's okay. So hard. I mean, because I was also going to say my Huzzah Probiotic Seltzer.
You've been really crushing all the time. She was just drinking one last night when we did the interview. Like, you're really.
I like to drink them when we record.
Okay.
I don't know why. It like calms me. They're so good. Huzzah, but they make me a little burpy.
I like them too. The pear one's really delicious.
Oh, the prickly pear, or
yeah.
What are they called?
Yeah, I think it is. Yes.
Is that what it's called? Yeah. I haven't opened that box yet. I'm on the raspberry and lemon. They're so delicious. I don't really know, okay. Guys. Well, I just
actually next week I'm doing a solo episode, but the week after that I'm challenging you. You have to have like the best favorite ever because you owe it to the people. Like, unfortunately,
okay, I do owe it to the people, but okay. I just the reason I'm it's not me being lazy. It's me like literally loving it so much that I just need everyone to watch.
What
it,
season?
You,
like,
bro.
How fast are we? Okay, maybe
I'm pounding. I'm in season 3 already.
That's a lot for you.
Season. That's a lot for me. They're also only 20-minute episodes.
I know, but you're
I'd probably be done by now.
You're not much of a like binger.
No, I'm not. Well, with school and everything, I'm not.
Yeah.
Maybe just in general, I'm not. I don't really know. But I can only watch him if Ryan and I are together. So I think I would be honestly almost done if it weren't for him. Yeah. So.
No, it's you. Really funny. Final answer. You are not a binger because every time I start a show, I'll start it after you, but I'll finish it before you.
I like, know.
But that's not good. Like, it's just because I'm like, no, I have to finish. I have to finish. Like, I get
no,
that
I mean, it's, and I'm so opposite. I'm like, wait, I don't want to know yet. Like, I want this to last.
I get that's it. How I, well, I'm that's a good thing to do. Like, I'm like always searching for more. If I know, like, All American, I knew that they had the third season out on a different platform. So I like went and like saw
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
Out. Yeah. Like, versus like waiting for it to come to Netflix, you know?
No, I mean, All American, so good. So I feel like good. I would do it too.
It's so good. Okay, so anyways, in 2 weeks, Danielle's gonna have a great, great favorite for us.
Yes.
And
yeah, very exciting. I do have to say, Brooke, aren't we, isn't there something in common about both of us now?
What? What?
What's something that we both just did? Yes.
I was like, that was really cryptic. We both took a shot. Wait,
shots.
You know the Gwyneth Paltrow thing. I laughed. I cried.
I took a shot. Yes. Dude, I haven't seen that video in so long. It's so good. Literally us.
We took a shot of. I took a shot of Moderna.
Oh, so you're a Moderna gal? Is that what sign are you? Oh, Moderna.
I'm a Moderna
I'm
rising.
You give me Moderna vibes for sure. No, for real though, guys. We are so thankful. We were finally both eligible in both of our states. So we got our shots, baby. So close to being fully immunized. Very excited. Very thankful for that.
Very thankful.
My arm is. I know a lot of you guys are too. Yeah.
We're recording this the day after I got it. My arm is
a little sore.
A little sore, but you know, not everyone's telling me, they're like, it just means your body's working. I know. Yeah. That's how vaccines work. Like, obviously, if you feel, if you think about it,
it'd be worrisome if not. Yeah.
It's kind of amazing when we really think about that. Our body is like building, like, as I'm just sitting here recording this podcast, like, my body's building immunity, baby. Like, that's so cool.
I saw this TikTok too that explained how in specific, the COVID vaccines work. Did I send it to you? It was so interesting. It was talking about how, like, the initial shot, what happens, like, because they're like, whoa, what's this? Okay. And then after the second shot, it's like, oh, okay, they're serious. Okay, we'll really get to work and, like, build immunity. I don't know. It was just really interesting. I'll have to send it to you. Because it's kind of hard to understand this one because they're not injecting the actual virus into you, from what I understand. It's the mRNA.
It's a messenger RNA.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
It's the messenger saying, hey, build immunity. Yeah. I don't really know. You guys know we're not qualified to talk about this. But, you know, it's just interesting. I love anything that makes something relatable so you can kind of understand it more, because I want to understand it, obviously. So it's really cool.
Yeah, so it's just all good things ahead. I just am so excited, and we both have our, like, second one, like, on the calendar, so we'll be fully, because it's
before,
like,
summer.
Yes.
I literally am so happy we'll get to see each other again. It's been over a year.
I know, and it's just exciting that it's, like, almost sooner than predicted, because I feel like for so long
Definitely.
We were like maybe late summer, and, like, it just kept going up and up. So we're so thankful, of course, for being in the U.S. and, like,
so
that
thankful.
Sort of deal, because I know in other countries it's not.
I know it's a little bit tougher.
Yeah,
so very thankful, very exciting. Go get your vaccine if you're eligible, for sure.
I didn't get a choice. I don't know about you. Like, the site that I was going to, they were like, we only have Moderna. So I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, they were like, Pfizer good? I was like, is there another option? They said no. I said, okay, let's go.
Yeah. It's either that or nothing. So it's like, obviously, I'm going to take what you can get, people.
All or nothing, baby. We're
so
very exciting. Pumped.
Very, very pumped. Aww. And very pumped for this episode. Wow. What a treat that we're talking about our vaccines. And we have someone in medicine on the show today.
Dr. P. Literally, guys, we were so obsessed with Dr. P. I was like, can you be my gynecologist? Like, I might have to commute from New York City to New Jersey just to have her be my doctor.
I'll drive you.
Just,
I have my car.
You'll drive me. Excuse your car. Literally, she was just so great. So you guys enjoy this episode. We'll stop talking now and just have a great day.
Have a great rest of your week. Okay.
Okay.
Enjoy.
Love you guys. Bye.
If you're having trouble meeting your goals, or difficulty with relationships, or trouble sleeping, or you're feeling stressed or depressed, BetterHelp is available. BetterHelp offers online professional counselors who can listen and help. So you simply fill out a questionnaire to assess your needs, and BetterHelp will actually match you with your own licensed professional therapist that you can start communicating with in under 48 hours. So just so you know, it's not a crisis line, it's not self-help, it's actually secure online professional counseling. And BetterHelp counselors have a broad range of expertise, which may not be available in your area. The service is available for clients worldwide, and you could log into your account anytime and send unlimited messages to your counselor. So you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. And plus, everything you share is confidential. You won't ever have to sit in an awkward waiting room again, because BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. It's also easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. In fact, you guys, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Gals on the Go listeners are going to get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/gals. Visit betterhelp.com/gals to join the over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp professional. All right, guys, we are so beyond excited. We are joined now with Dr. P. How are you?
I am wonderful, guys. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much for being on the show. We're so excited.
We are so beyond excited. If you could, we already told our listeners a little bit about you, of course, in the intro, but tell us, like, when people ask for, you know, you, your story, what is it? Let's hear it.
Okay, good. So yeah, so I am Dr. Perkins, and so my Instagram or my social media name is Dr. P, and so I am an obstetrician and gynecologist, and so what that essentially means is that I take care of all female health, female concerns from the beginning as early as 13 years old, all the way until whenever you die, right? So go through all the different life stages, pregnancy and, you know, bleeding, hysterectomy, menopause, whatever it is. I essentially manage and control and help you live the best you during your best years.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you again being on. We are so excited to kind of just debunk all these questions that a lot of our listeners are afraid to ask. I'm afraid to ask my own gynecologist. So, and you make everyone feel super comfortable. So we're really excited.
Good. Let's do it.
Yeah. First off, we do want to talk a little bit about, like, you just being a woman in medicine and all that stuff, because I think that is super important. We have so many listeners who look up to you. And how did you kind of know what type of medicine was right for you? Did you know all along, like, women's health was what you wanted to study?
Right. You know what? I did not. I had absolutely no clue. When I was younger, I don't have that, like, magical story that says, you know, something happened in the family, or, you know, someone got hurt and then encouraged me. I have nothing good to say. Outside of the fact that I love the human body. And so that was the thing that kind of sparked my curiosity when I was younger. Like, why is it that you get a cut and you bleed and then a scab forms and then, you know, it heals and there's this, like, you're normal again. Like, why does that happen? It's just weird to me. And so it was all these small, weird things that would happen with my body that made me more curious about it. And then I figured that the best way for me to go about learning this is to know medicine, to go into healthcare and to, in my sense, I guess, to become a doctor. And so I went to medical school not knowing what type of doctor I wanted to be. I just knew I just loved the body and I wanted to know more about it. So most people don't understand what the pathway is to become a physician. But essentially, at first, you kind of study all the bookwork stuff, the stuff that are boring, you know, the biologies and what makes the life, go around kind of thing. And so during that time frame, it was just, okay, I'm just learning. And then after you finish those first 2 years of book work, then you start going into what we call clinical rotations. And that's when you kind of experience all the different fields within, you know, physicianhood. Okay. So, you know, you look at radiology versus surgery and OB and pediatricians. And it was during that time frame that I kind of got that my aha moment. So I'd actually tried 11 other things.
Wow. Wow.
Every other thing felt like it would have been me. I was like, okay, you know, I really love cardiology. I really love this. But when I got to my OBGYN rotation, I was like, aha, this is it.
Got it.
This is where I'm supposed to be. This is where I want to be. And I felt at home. I felt a connection. It took the second day of being on my OBGYN rotation to say, this is what I would like to be. Because of the connection that I have with women, I felt like I understand your complaints and your problems. I know what's going on with your body and hormones and why we get moody and, you know, things just change from cycle to cycle. And I get it. And so I was like, you know what? I just want to encourage women and females to be their best selves and to understand and learn their bodies more.
the chills. I'm so inspired. That's absolutely incredible. And so for our listeners, they're mostly college age, recently post-grad, who want to go into medicine. Obviously, you just kind of enlightened everybody already. But do you have any, you know, words of wisdom from someone who is absolutely killing it in their career for people?
Yes. So you know what? If you're killing it, this is wonderful. Keep going with that grind, okay? Because you will, there are times when you might not feel like you have a clear direction with where to go, right? And you're just like, you know, well, I know I'm great at this, but I'm not passionate about this. And so sometimes there's a disconnect. So just keep working. Don't ever stop. And your pathway will become clear at some point. Whenever we stop and we become stagnant, we make no progression, right? And so you want to just keep moving and the doors will open up, the opportunities will come, and you will be directed to where you actually desire to be. And so just keep grinding. And if you don't know, if you happen to be that person that's just like, okay, I'm just confused, you know what? Start by knowing you and be true to yourself. Find what it is that you like. It could be anything. You can be great at it and you can be the top and the best at it. It doesn't matter what it is. So just keep grinding.
Beautiful. Incredible. We love to hear it. And so thank you for all of that. We get a lot of listeners who reach out that are interested in medicine. Danielle and I are two business and fashion merchandising gals, so we're not necessarily the best sources for that. So thank you so much for that. But we want to, of course, like the topic of the episode, as we said, questions women are too afraid to ask their healthcare provider. I feel like you want to create like this open dynamic, of course, with your doctor where you feel comfortable, but it's still so vulnerable and awkward because sometimes you could feel like you're the only one that might be facing a certain issue.
Right.
And then you start Googling, you go down like the Google. Oh my gosh.
Oh, it's the self-diagnosis. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Dr. Google.
Yep.
Definitely not the best. But let's start off with some questions just generally about birth control. A lot of our listeners, by the way, just for context, are like college age, maybe like young adulthood. Predominantly, I think 95% of our listeners are female. So hopefully that this is helpful for you guys out there. But we are always asked in general what birth control we take. And we'll give advice, you know, like we're both on like the pill and different brands of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But obviously we're not professionals. So when someone comes to you and they want to start the conversation about birth control, where do you start?
You know what? I start first by saying, okay, what type of person are you? Okay. Some people are very attached to their cycles and they want to see their cycles exactly when it should be. You know, if it should come on the 25th, they want to see it on the 25th. It should last 4 days. They want it to last 4 days. If it should be a certain intensity, they want to keep that consistent. And some people are just like, I don't like my cycle. I want nothing to do with it. I would be happy if I never see it again. And so I really kind of find out the kind of person you are, okay? Just the same, some people are really good with staying on schedule. They will take their pills the same time every day, like clockwork. They're not going to miss it. It's going to happen. And then there are some people that say, you know what? It's a challenge for me. I can't really make this a commitment of mine. And so I use these details about the patient to kind of discuss what options are available to them. So for instance, for people who like to be in control of their cycles and want to see it, the options for them would be either the pill that they'll take every day, the patch that they'll use once a week, or the vaginal ring that they'll use once a month. And so you kind of control it. You know you're going to get your cycle when you should. You know the exact day. You know what the intensity is going to be like. And you kind of control that. Then on the other hand are things that are more long-term. So things like the Depo Provera injection, which is once every 3 months. You don't control it yourself. You have to go to the office for us to administer it to you. Or the Nexplanon that goes into the arm. And this is placed once and it can keep you as long as 3 years. Or the IUD that we place inside of the uterus, that you can really keep that depending on whether or not it's hormonal, meaning that your cycles might end up becoming a little bit lighter over time and may go away for that person who don't want to see their cycles again, versus the Paragard, which allows your cycles to come every single month the way it normally would. And so that kind of gives you an idea of finding that balance for that person to give them the one that is right for them based on their desires and based on what they want at the end.
Thank you so much for kind of laying it all out. I've never heard it laid out like that. I think it's really nice to be able to see a breakdown of, okay, what type of person are you? What are your desires? Because I am that type of person. I do want to see it once a month. I want to, I do take it every night, you know, and then I have other friends that kind of just don't care and they would rather just not deal with it at all. So I think that's a really good thing to clear up. So kind of staying on the topic of birth control, I remember when I first started, I started seeing all these kind of side effects and I thought I was crazy. I thought something was wrong with me, you know, like mood swings and headaches and weight gain. Are these normal or is that or is it concerning?
You know what? And for every person it's a little bit different, but yes, you may get nauseous. Yes, you might feel a little bit funny, you know, the first month or two after starting the use of any kind of birth control. Yes, you can have mood swings, but guess what? Those mood swings are also present when you're not on birth control. Okay. So sometimes it could be better, right? Or it could be less. So for different individuals, it might be where they actually are more calm and they're just like, you know what? I am so much more balanced when I have a hormonal system versus not. And so we want to kind of pay attention to changes in how your cycles occur after you start birth control to kind of determine what is normal for you and what's not normal for you. So including the fact that your cycles may change. Okay. And sometimes people don't like changes to their cycles because again, it creates confusion. It's like, okay, what's going on with
me? It can be concerning.
Yes. Very, very, very concerning. So what do you do? You track and document. Okay.
Gotcha.
It's the best way to kind of know what your body is doing. Okay. So you write down, okay, you know, I started it on this Sunday. And, you know, by Tuesday or Wednesday, I started feeling really crampy or I just felt like I was just not in the mood for anything or, you know, my libido went down a little bit. I'm just not very excited about, you know, sexual intercourse or just being intimate in any way. And so these are real things. They're real things.
That's such a good
And they can happen. Yes. So you want to just pay attention and believe that whatever changes has occurred in your body is real. And, you know, nothing and no one should really devalue that and make it seem as if, okay, something's wrong with you because it's not. It's real to you. And the same thing for birth control, weight gain. Or by document, there are certain birth controls that we know for sure that has been proven by scientific evidence that it will cause you to have weight gain. And so we know that we anticipate it. Like, for instance, the Depo-Provera, we know for sure that it increases weight gain 100% across the board. We anticipate that and we talk about it prior to choosing that as a birth control option for you. However, because it's been proven for the Depo-Provera, but not proven with the pills, for instance, doesn't mean that you're not having weight gain because of the hormonal influence of whatever it is that you're taking. So you want to be cognizant of this, okay? But you also don't want to forget that as we get older, and I tell this to my patients all the time, and they look at me like, Dr. Perkins, what are you saying, Dr. P? No, right? And so what happens is that as we get older in general, if we were to eat the same exact amount of calories every single day, between the age of like 25 and say 65, every single year you would gain about 5 pounds. And that's with absolutely no change.
Stop it.
Yes.
Just because of aging.
Yes. 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 And yes.
So wild.
And so I encourage my patients to say, hey, really pay attention to your activities because we don't want to necessarily just blame the birth control. Yes, it could be playing a part and we don't want to dismiss that, but also be cognizant of the things that you're eating, making sure that you're not, you know, binging on, you know, the sugary things and, you know, things like the pizza and the rice and the pasta and things that we know caloric increase will cause weight gain, right? So if you're conscious, you're exercising and you're burning extra and additional calories on a daily basis and you're eating well, more than likely you won't experience that weight gain. So it's a balance between the two of them.
Wow.
That's a really interesting point. So it's just something that unfortunately we have to deal with. It sucks. Damn. Okay.
It sure
Good
does.
Good to know.
Hey, you guys, it's Danielle here popping in to talk to you guys about hair food. I'm telling you guys, it just makes sense. Like, what if we fed our hair with the same nourishing ingredients that we feed our bodies with? I mean, I've been using this clean, simple, kitchen-crafted recipes from Hair Food, and I've seen amazing results. I have the tea tree and lavender water shampoo and conditioner. It smells so good. I can't even explain it. Like, I wish I could just send the scent to you guys through the phone. But, I mean, whatever hair texture or hair type you have, your Hungry Jew will feel well fed from the superfood ingredients packed into every bottle of hair food. Every hair food product is free of sulfates, parabens, dyes, and mineral oils because your hair does not want to be eating that. So if you're looking to nourish your hair, I mean, like, really nourish it, it's got to be hair food. Look for it at Amazon, Walmart, and Target.
This is somewhat of a niche question, but I have a lot of friends now, and myself included, been on birth control for so many years at this point, like, can't even keep track. You know, we've been on it since we're what, like 16, 17, 18, and now we're like in our 20s, probably we'll be on it into our 30s. Can you be on birth control for too long that it like impacts your body, or there's always rumors like you're infertile or something, like you hear, so is that concerning?
It is concerning, and it is not so much because birth control will affect your, or I shouldn't say affect, it will decrease your fertility. It does not, okay? What decreases your fertility, proven, is you getting older, period. Or fertility today, whatever day, so middle of April, okay? And our fertility tomorrow is different. It's gone down some, okay? And it's gone down some if you're in your 20s. It has gone down some if you're in your 30s, and the same thing for in your 40s. So every progressive day, it's gotten a little bit less, whether or not you're on birth control. And so what will happen over time is that you are going to get to a point where you become infertile, and you're just slowly getting there over time.
So it's birth control or not, essentially, is what you're saying.
It's still happening. Yes.
Gotcha.
It's still happening. So it's almost, you know, sometimes we might think that being on birth control means that we're pausing our fertility. We are not. Your fertility is going down. Your eggs are still dying at the same rate every single day from the day that you were born until the day that you get to menopause. And so you want to kind of, you know, keep that in mind. But do know that this is where some conflict of interest may come in, okay? Depending on the birth control that you were using, the time frame that it takes for your fertility to become active again may be lengthened after stopping your birth control. So, for instance, if you were to stop, I feel like we're talking a lot about the depo today, but not even specifically, but it's a good one to kind of use for these conversations, because the depo is well known to cause you to not have your cycles, and it's a beautiful thing, and people love this. So when you stop the depo, the effects of the medication may linger in your system for sometimes years after you stop using it. So if you were just like, you know, I stopped my birth control in January and I wanted to get pregnant in April. If you're on the depo, you need to add a few months, if not years, right, to that time frame. So depending on when it is that you're planning on pregnancy, you might have a delay before it actually happens. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. So this next question I have, it's such, you know, I'm in college, so it's something we not talk about all the time, but you know, plan B is something you hear a lot about. And I've always heard this myth. You can only take plan B, you know, two or three times. And then like something.
Why is that
happens.
Such a myth? They say like, I don't know. Get one or two shots in your life and then you can never take it again. And like, why?
Yeah. I hear so many different things. And so I would just love to talk about that. Like, it does it become less effective each time? Like,
No. So yes, a myth. Completely just erase it. If you ever hear it, just ignore it, because it's not true. It's not factual. Okay.
Wow.
And so plan B essentially is hormones. The same hormones you're taking in your pills every day or in your patch or in your depo, whatever it is, you're taking hormones, but when you're taking the plan B, you're taking a stronger dose of that hormone in a shorter period of time. And so while we don't want you to live on plan B, if you can imagine every single time you're using plan B, your mind is going crazy. I don't want to get pregnant. You're anxious. You know, you're really concerned. You're nervous. You're just like, that's not what I'm planning for. And so you keep having these periods of stress. And so what we encourage is that if we know that you're not at the point where you're desiring pregnancy, and you are okay with hormones, then we should probably put you on something that's more long-term, so that you're not giving your body a higher dose of hormones more than, you know, a few times a year. Okay.
Okay.
So instead of doing that, just go on something that will keep you stable at a low dose, and right, you can consistently have it. And then you can trust that it is working. You can trust that you're not going to get pregnant if you do your part and take it well. And you can trust that you won't ever have to be in this anxiety or, you know, anxious state because you're so concerned about the possibility of pregnancy when you're not ready for it.
You heard it here first, everybody. You can take it as many times yes, as needed, or yes, just do a different birth control and talk to your doctor. I want you to be my doctor. That works somehow. You make me so happy.
She's in New Jersey, Danielle. Danielle's
moving
to New York.
Oh, I'm moving to New York.
So. Oh, yes. You know, I actually worked in New York for a very long time.
Oh, and so I'm
very familiar.
We might have to make the trek to you. We'll
might have to. Yeah. I'm switching to New Jersey doctor.
All right. This is kind of something we've never like talked about on the show. I don't really think it's uncomfortable.
It has to be
whatever,
talked about.
All right. Yeah. Discharge.
Yes.
Why? Well, I have so many questions on it because like, why the heck is it so confusing? Like you hear about, I feel like people are getting more open with this too in terms of general, yes, like female conversations. It used to be so taboo of like, you know, I got some in my underwear, like now I have to, I don't know, I just would never tell my friends, like address it, or not that it needs, right,
yeah,
to be
it's like embarrassing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what, starting off of like discharge, what is it? Why does it happen? What, for some people, for me, like, why does it happen every day? Like, is that normal?
Yes. I don't know. Yes. Discharge is good.
Okay.
I want you to love your discharge.
Oh,
embrace
love
your
it.
Discharge.
Wow.
Let me tell you, when you don't have discharge anymore and you go through menopause, you're going to die for it. And say, okay, where's my discharge? I want it back. Okay. Discharge is good. Is healthy, is how you maintain the integrity of your vagina, the integrity of your body, and it says that your body's working normally. You want to have discharge. If you can imagine even having sexual intercourse and you do not have discharge, that's what lubrication is. It's discharge. Yes. And so you want that. It makes it slippery and sliding. It just makes everything work better for you and comfortable for you, and protects the inside of your vagina. So you really want it. And so essentially it is the way that your vagina cleans itself.
Okay.
That kind of sounds kind of weird. Okay. It's just like, okay, so I'm dirty and so my discharge is something bad. No, it is the way that your body on a daily basis cleanses itself and keeps it nice and fresh. Okay. And so you want to have that discharge. The confusion becomes when the discharge changes. But your discharge is supposed to change. And because biologically there's a reason behind this, we want you to also embrace the changes that are normal for you. So for instance, a white discharge, for the most part, is a normal discharge. The only time that a white discharge is not normal is if it's thick and clumpy, because that now is a discharge that is having to do with a yeast infection.
Okay.
Okay. So if it's not thick and clumpy, and literally it's like cottage cheese, literally. So if you know what cottage cheese is like, and you take a spoon of this, that is what a yeast infection looks like.
So you'd kind of know, is what you're saying.
You would know.
Okay.
And so if you don't have anything that is a yeast cottage cheese type of discharge and it's white, that's normal. Okay.
Okay.
Clear discharge is just the same. It is normal as well. And we normally have clear discharge when it's around the time of ovulation.
Okay.
And the reason is because it becomes more mucousy and more slippery and slidey. And the reason is, if you were to have sexual intercourse, your body biologically says, I'm going to make this like a skating rink. I'm going to make it so easy for sperm to just slide on in. Okay. And so
that's
what happens when you ovulate. So you will have clear, and it might be more, and it might be a little bit thicker. That's normal. That's completely normal. And then when your egg dies and you did not get pregnant, your body says, okay, well, we tried and clearly nothing happened. So there's no need for us to be slippery and sliding anymore. And then your discharge changes yet again. Okay. And now it's saying, now it's preparing for you to have a cycle, because you didn't get pregnant. You have an egg that died. It needs to clear this all out and start all over again next month. Okay. And so your discharge now might even be like a little bit yellowish. And that's normal. It's completely normal. If you have a dark yellow or green discharge, that is more significant of an infection like gonorrhea, chlamydia, trichomonas.
All right. So these ladies.
Yeah. So,
so you would, so another sign you would know.
Like no, it would be yellow greenish.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
That's just not your typical.
Totally.
Okay. And just the same as bacterial vaginosis. This is one that kind of is one of the most common infections of the vagina, but also one that is kind of hard to visualize, right? So you're just like, well, if white is normal and gray isn't, how can I tell the difference? How do I know gray is really gray? It's really hard to say. You know, we don't really have a good answer for that. But what you'll know is that it is different from your white that you normally have.
Huzzah! It's Danielle. Hi, guys. I am so excited. One of our sponsors this week is Huzzah. It is one of my favorite just go-to drinks. Things are heating up. The weather's getting warm. I'm finally able to start laying by the pool again. And with Huzzah, I mean, I'm experiencing this bold probiotic seltzer with benefits, you guys. It's sunny out, and when I just pop open a little can of Huzzah, I am just elevated. I am brought to a beautiful place. I'm so serious. Like, I have so many cans of Huzzah in our fridge. Like, my roommate probably gets so annoyed because it's just so full of them. But I literally drink one every single day, whether if it's I'm outside, I just need a little pick-me-up, and they just have insane benefits. So, I mean, everything's more fun when you feel your best. That's why Huzzah adds probiotics to their seltzer to help support a healthy gut. You guys know I'm all about a probiotic moment. They're tasty, they're exhilarating when they're chilled, obviously, but they're also non-perishable. So you can store them at room temperature. I've got a couple boxes of them that aren't in the fridge because I obviously have so many. So there's a couple different flavors. We've got raspberry and lemon, strawberry and hibiscus, and juicy pear. I am currently sipping on raspberry and lemon, and juicy pear is another one of my favorites. So good. So yeah, I mean, get your cooler ready and stock up with Huzzah probiotic seltzers by using code GALSONTHEGO for 20% off your order at drinkhuzzah.com. That's code GALSONTHEGO for 20% off at drinkhuzzah.com.
Mm-hmm. How about scents? I know it's kind of weird, but like my friends and I would talk like, oh, if it smells like this, then it's the, like, do you have any input on that?
I do.
Sorry, I had to. My friends asked me to ask. Not me.
So the vagina should be musty smelling. It should not smell like flowers. You know, is
thank you for good. Reiterating this.
Yes,
can we tell men that? I was gonna say we need to tell every male this. Like, what in health class they need to be like? Yes. Just so y'all know, like, it's not all good.
Flowers.
This is not a garden. You know, this is not perfume, and it shouldn't be. And you know, we should not, as women, feel pressured to have our vaginas
totally
like that, because that's not normal.
Yes.
No, so musty, yes. Okay. Fishy, no.
Okay,
anything that feels, and especially around intercourse. If you had sex and then all of a sudden you're just like, it really smells really fishy, that's not normal. And so that you do want to get evaluated. Yes. And so fishy smells often will be instigated by sexual intercourse.
Okay.
So you might be fine. And you might actually have it for weeks and not be aware of it. But as soon as they have sex, then that smell really becomes so pronounced. You're just like, oh my gosh, I cannot do this. And so that's when you know it's time for you to go to the doctors for evaluation of this.
Okay. Good to know.
Questions about yeast infections. Especially we hear that people get them from wet bathing suits, tight exercise clothing. Is that like a legit, besides just sex?
Because
I know there's periods of my life where I'm not having sex and I've gotten UTIs, I've gotten yeast infections, whatever I've gotten. And like
UTIs.
Is this normal though?
It is. It's not normal. So I wouldn't say this normalized
maybe not
at
normal.
All.
Maybe not normal.
Yes. Right.
But it happens.
But what it is very common. Okay. And yes, moisture is the culprit here.
Okay.
And so anything that causes an excessive amount of moisture in the vaginal area can cause that. So tight clothing. Why? Because you've got that area so tight and not able to breathe that what happens is that it sweats. And it becomes so wet, and any kind of moisture, whether sweat, from water, from semen, causes bacteria to grow anywhere. So if you were had to have a jug of water and you just left it outside, bacteria would grow on it. If you left it anywhere, it's the same thing there. Bacteria loves moisture, and so does yeast. And so whenever you have and provide that kind of environment for your vagina, the yeast that is normally there, everyone has yeast in their vaginas. You're supposed to have yeast in your vaginas, but it should not be too much yeast to cause an infection.
Okay.
So moisture will cause your yeast to overgrow, causing a yeast infection. So you just want to air out. And you know, my number one recommendation, which all my patients look at me like, are you serious? I don't know if I can do this. Don't wear underwear.
I say this all the time. And she,
I can't. No, I can't. I can't.
I'm not right now.
Why
I'm not wearing it right now.
Underwear. Yay. Okay, this is good. No undies. What do we need them for? Okay, when you're on your menstrual cycle, I get it. Fine.
Yes,
I understand.
Yes, definitely.
Yes. But that's only but a few days of the month. So the other 24 or 25, you should be free. Let it go. Let it breathe.
I'm there.
You,
I'm there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so some women were like, okay, well, Dr. P, I don't wear it to bed. And I'm like, well, that's great. That's a great start.
Yeah, sometimes.
But I really want you to go all the time because your underwear is just really keeping that area so tight and giving it less area, like time to breathe and to move and to get some air. And it actually increases the likelihood of you having infections.
I have to clarify. I've actually never gotten a yeast infection in my life, so I just said that. But UTIs though, and I'm hitting up my.
I've had my fair share,
and then I like message my gynecologist through like the portal that we have online.
Yeah.
You send the meds to like
the CVS. Need an antibiotic.
Yeah.
So a couple of key things with the UTI is that you want to keep urine flowing out of your bladder. Okay. And by flowing, meaning that you're not peeing when you're sitting, you know, when you're walking down the street, it means that you don't want to hold your urine for a long period of time. And so if you can think of it as your bladder is a reservoir where you're collecting the urine your kidney makes. Okay. And then what happens is that there's bacteria that lives outside of the vagina and lives on your vulva. And so that bacteria, when you're not urinating, is crawling itself all the way up your urethra to your bladder. Okay. And then you pee. And when you urinate, you wash it away. And so what happens is that when you hold your urine for a very long time, you're giving that bacteria more time to leave from the outside to get on the inside. And so once it gets to your bladder, then you have a UTI. Okay. So you want to not hold your urine. You want to drink enough water so you urinate all the time. Okay. And then you want to eat well. And so those are like the top three things I would say. Water, 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 water.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to go to the bathroom all the time. I understand it's annoying sometimes, especially if you're traveling or at work or, you know, a weird scenario, you know, you're out at an outing and you don't want to, you know, go to a public restroom. I get it. But you're just giving your bacteria so much time to get to your bladder and cause an infection.
All right, there you go. Heard it here first. Stay hydrated. Go pee. Brooke makes fun of me because I have a really small bladder and I'm constantly peeing because I don't want a UTI. I'm like, I've dealt with that. I'm not holding it anymore.
I'm
so
sorry.
Normalized
it's
peeing.
Just inconvenient as a friend when I'm like, you gotta go again. Like, yeah, you know, like.
It's so fair.
I experienced the same thing with my girlfriends, and so I understand. Nobody likes that. Like, okay, another bathroom break.
You gotta do what you gotta do. So kind of about, you know, to the next topic of staying clean, cleanly down there. But like you said, it doesn't have to smell like a flower. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't. So I want to hear your opinion. I feel like I might know on Summer's Eve and some of those other feminine cleansing washes that we use to clean down there.
The vagina cleans itself.
Itself.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Retweet. This. Like, put that in all caps.
Oh, like, all the time. Bolded, you know, the largest font. Your vagina really cleans itself. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to disrupt its normal activities. You were born for this. Your body is not, it wasn't born yesterday. It's been around for some time. And so you want to trust it, that it knows exactly what to do. Whenever we take too much action and we are doing too much, we cause imbalances and your body goes into a state of constantly trying to fix it. And it's like, okay, you keep giving me stuff that I don't like enough to fix it. And then you get infections. And so you want to, the best way really to wash the vulva. And just to clarify, the vulva is everything on the outside that you can touch and see. Okay. Whatever gets in contact with your underwear. Okay. Your labia, your clitoris. These are those things. Mm-hmm. The vagina is just the tube that is from the outside of the vulva. And all it goes all the way up to the cervix, which is where it connects to your uterus. So it's just that tube that we're referring to there. Okay.
So the outside then, I guess, like, is that, are we cleaning the outside?
So you're only cleaning the outside. Okay.
What are we cleaning?
And so you're cleaning the vulva.
Okay.
And when you clean the vulva, the best way to go about that is with warm water and your hands. Okay.
Wow.
And so if you are really just like, okay, I just can't use water, then you use a very, very light, unscented, fragrance-free wash.
Okay.
Okay. Not a conventional soap, and it's definitely not an antibacterial soap. You don't need that. You are killing your good bacteria with that, and you don't want that to happen. It gives you, it's not good. The reason why we say your hands is that the vagina is like mucous membranes in the vulva, and it's very sensitive areas, okay? Like when you brush your teeth, you're not brushing the sides of your mouth that are very mucous membrane-like, right? True. You're not like, oh, scrubbing it. Nobody does that. And so why would you do that to your vagina?
Wow, it's, that's a, like, good metaphor.
The tissue there in the vulva is very similar to that in your mouth, on the size of your mouth. And so you want to treat it with care. And so when you are too aggressive and you wash too many times and you wipe too many times and you are using very tough detergents or soaps, and you're irritating that area and you're causing abrasions. Mm-hmm. And now it's more susceptible to all the bacteria that lives there and causes more infection and problems for you. So be as simple and as light as possible.
Okay.
Read your ingredients. Use less. Less is more.
Cool. Okay. So overall, we're keeping it simple. I like to hear that.
It's time for some straight talk. Let's face it, tax returns could look a little different for a lot of people this year, but you're still going to get a lot of noise in your ear about how you should spend it. So when the big carriers start trying to get you to splurge on the latest nonsense, just tune it out and rock out with only the best deals. Spend it on what makes you happy. With Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a Samsung Galaxy A51 for just $199, so you can listen to your favorite music wherever you go. Plus, get the $45 unlimited talk, text, and data plan with no contract on America's best networks for up to 50% less. Come on, start the year on a high note. Tune out the nonsense and tune into Straight Talk Wireless. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
Lots of questions because we, like we said, college age audience, STDs, STIs. What's the difference between the two? And I feel like we're everyone's saying STI these days. Is there a reason why?
Yes. Actually, that is the correct term to use. An STI is an infection that is sexually transmitted, okay? So simply, if you were to get a yeast infection, it's an infection that you get, you can get a cure for instance. And once you're done with that infection, it's gone. It's done. Okay, an STD is a disease, which is a condition that stays with you. And sometimes it can be cured. But if you were to have HIV, for instance, okay, this is a disease to your system that requires you to be consistently treated and managed over time. Gotcha. And so that's different from an infection that you clear. So it's almost like, you know, if you got pneumonia, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have pneumonia forever. It's an infection. Now you get antibiotics, you clear it, it's gone. Okay. Mm-hmm. Versus a disease, which would be like hypertension or diabetes that kind of stays with you forever kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Complete sense. Okay, it just means like infection versus disease. Infection you can treat. Whereas with STDs, it's so crazy too, because sometimes you literally don't even know you have one until perhaps like a partner has told you they have it, or if you get tested. And so I guess that just stresses the need to, you know, constantly be going to, you know, getting checked, right?
Absolutely. And even when you're in monogamous relationships, I still recommend that you get tested, and for a lot of different reasons. Sometimes there are incubation periods with diseases where you say you were to have unprotected sex today, it might not show up in the blood or in your body tomorrow, right? But it doesn't mean that it's not present. So you want to be very consistent with that and check on a routine basis. As you get older, typically, I mean, your need for being routinely tested goes down, right? Mm-hmm. But the need is still there. So you want to know. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, for someone who isn't in a committed relationship, so like dating around, not necessarily like casual sex all the time, but like, you know, it might be like an option on the table. How often should we be getting checked?
At least annually.
Okay.
So at least once a year. But if you're the way that I counsel my patients, which is, I might be a little bit excessive, but I'm all about girl power. I want you to be in control of your bodies and to trust yourself first and only. Okay.
I love
it. So, when you do that, you are being in control and you know what's happening with you. And so, yes, you should require that any new partner be tested.
Okay.
Two, you should require that they provide you with the results of that.
Really?
Not just to say, you know, oh, I got tested and that's it. No, no, no.
You want to see it.
The proof, the receipts.
Wow.
Because,
you know, okay.
If you go to the gynecologist and we check for gonorrhea and chlamydia, we didn't check for, you know, hepatitis and HIV and syphilis, right? So you want to be aware of what tests are being done and that they are actually negative. And so that's number one. The second thing that I would say is that if you change partners, and you want to get a new set of testing. So if you're changing partners very often, sometimes I'll have patients where they are sexually active or with a new partner, maybe several times a month, or it could be several times a year. Whenever you switch partners, I do recommend that you get a new set of testing.
Okay, perfect. Wow. I just feel so much better because I feel like you just really hit everything on the nail.
And Danielle's going to stop wearing underwear now. This is the new thing.
And now I'm like, shoot.
She's getting excited.
Gosh, I'm like, I choked on my own spit right there. Oh my gosh. I just like, you normalize so much for me and so many other people.
Same.
And yes, maybe I will start, you know, not wearing underwear with my leggings. I feel like that's a good way to start. Just with jeans, isn't that uncomfortable? Like, ow, I don't know. I'll have to think about that.
If your jeans are that uncomfortable and really rubbing against you, then it's a little bit too tight and we probably shouldn't.
Ooh, right. Then that's too tight. Maybe a yeast infection situation.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Love it. I'm gonna start talking about this so freely, and my friends are gonna be like, "You good, Danielle?" I love it.
It's incredible. Oh. Well, thank you so much for being here. But our listeners, I know that you're doing so much on your socials. So where can they find you and all of your content?
Yes. And so you can find me at Call Me Doctor DOCTOR period or dot. And that's on my Instagram, that's Facebook, that's a bunch of different places. But also, I will be launching my website very soon, which will be it's www.callmedrb.com.
Okay,
and
perfect.
So that will be within the next 4 weeks. You'll be able to access more content, more information, and just a lot more about just wealth and wellness and loving and knowing your body.
Wow, do you sleep at all? Like, my goodness.
good question.
That's another conversation altogether.
Okay. I love it. Well, thank you so much again for being on the show. It means the world to Brooke and I, and I know all the other gals on the go, and you really debunked some things for us. So
It's been such a pleasure being here. You guys are wonderful. And so I hope really that your listeners and your followers really learned something. And, at any point, if you have questions, you can always send me a message as well. I'm really open to helping
That's amazing. We'd love to hear it. Such a great resource. So definitely reach out, you guys. Also, if this episode helped you guys in any way, send it to a friend. Have them check it out. I feel like it's a good way to like get the convo going with your friends without being
definitely.
Like, it's a let's face it, it's kind of awkward and hard sometimes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, we love you guys so much. We'll talk to you guys next Wednesday. Thank you, Dr. P, again, and have a great day.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Earth Month, you guys.
I love that I can shop sustainably at Macy's. I actually really appreciate that a big brand like Macy's is supporting small changes to make a big difference. So, you guys want to join in on the fun? You can join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. You can donate online or in store and learn more at macys.com/purpose. I think this is such a cool idea, like turning old schoolyards into green spaces. That's so exciting. I feel like more and more we're needing to go outside, so this is perfect, and I love Macy's for that.